You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From the crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
What up, Troy?
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going good. What about here? Everybody happy?
I'm so happy, Troy. My heart is glowing.
Even though you've never seen snow.
Nope. That's okay. It'll happen one day.
I guess it will. Okay, let's get straight into this because there's a few really good records
coming
out this week. The first one, this one is probably has been the hardest one in doing From the Crate to pick a tune from because...
It's just so good.
Yes, there is nothing on it that isn't exceptional. And it's the new one, new compilation from Soul Jazz entitled Soul Jazz Presents New Orleans Funk 4, Voodoo Fire in New Orleans, cool. 1951 to 75. Now, I was saying to Michael just out there before that you'd think by the time you're getting to part four of a two LP set series that you might be scraping the bottom of the barrel a bit, right?
But you're not.
No, hell no. This is an amazing record. You know about New Orleans funk, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically you've got it's kind of a mix of R&B, Mardi Gras, second line rhythm, second line being the second line of a funeral procession, where a funeral
right.
procession might be like really slow and everything. The second line is where there's drummers and dancers.
Away.
Yeah, I am. You know, and because of the location of New Orleans and Louisiana, you've got a lot of Caribbean rhythms as well. There's a port town, the Caribbean is sort of right there. Anyway, so it was a fairly unique kind of funk and kind of important as well, I think.
Why? Why is it important?
I think because partly because of New Orleans is sort of isolated, sort of cut off a bit, it was allowed to develop on its own without too much outside interference or like cross-pollination from the popular record industry. And that was evident in the fact that a lot of the stuff is unfamiliar, only came out on local New Orleans labels. And I think because of that, it's sort of unique. You know, you can say Detroit funk or whatever, but I mean that was so closely tied to New York and things like that, whereas New Orleans wasn't.
Yeah.
Should I tell you who's on here?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I'd love to know.
Betty Harris.
Oh, wow.
Is on here. Norma Jean.
Cool.
Zilla Mays.
I don't know Zilla Mays.
Zilla Mays, you really like. She was a singer that I don't think she ever gained much success at all, but should have. She's really great. The sort of the two big artist producers from New Orleans, Eddie Bowe and Alan Toussaint, are represented. Of course, Eddie Bowe has a tune by himself as well as a production on a couple of other numbers. 1951. There's something from 1951 and it's the first version of Junko Partner.
I don't know that.
Junko Partner, The Clash covered on Sandinista.
Cool.
A relatively faithful sort of version. This here is the original one by, what's his name? James Waynes. Also, there's something from 57, which is The Monkey Speaks His Mind by Dave Bartholomew. Amazing. But, see, I could have chosen any of those, but I figure what we should do is to try to find one which kind of involves all of the aspects of New Orleans funk. Mm-hmm. And so one we've chosen, who's it by? You can read it out.
Eldridge Holmes.
Eldridge Holmes.
I really struggle with that name.
Eldridge Holmes. Now, he was a singer that Alan Toussaint had worked with for quite a while. He'd
cool.
never really had a hit. And then when the main recording studio in New Orleans, Cosima Studio, which was kind of the recording studio, got shut down in late 69, Toussaint was... just starting to record the second album for The Meters. So they moved to Atlanta, Georgia to do that. And because he was still so thinking Eldridge still really has something to give, he brought Eldridge out to do a single. And it was The Meters backing. The Meters at the time doing the record, what was their second record? Look a Pie Pie, right? Mm. And produced by him. And what an amazing song. Popcorn Children.
It's a great name.
Pop, comma, Popcorn Children. Wait till you hear it. It's great.
Should we have a listen?
Yes.
Cool.
Oh, Atlanta, they're gonna popcorn.
Great track,
isn't it?
There's so many different elements to it.
Did you like the sitar which came in that last breakdown?
Yeah, you did have to point that out though, because it's only there for a very brief period of time.
Now, we were talking about second line rhythms, and what characterizes a second line rhythm is it's not on the beat and it's not off the beat.
It's like in between.
And you could hear that right
there.
Yeah,
but I feel like that would be something that would be really hard to do properly.
It's a good thing that he had the Meters as a backing band then, isn't it?
Definitely.
And I'd say that's the Meters kind of almost at their height, I think, around 1970.
Brilliant.
So the New Orleans Funk Volume 4 is out, double LP on Soul Jazz. Who else is on it? There was a couple of people I didn't mention accidentally. Gus the Groove Lewis, amazing tune from him. Lou Johnson, both of those produced by Toussaint, of course. Who else did I mention? Eddie Bowe. Oh, James K9.
Cool.
Is on there. It's a really, really great comp.
Yeah, heaps of people.
Yep. And every track a killer.
Every track a killer.
Yep, it's amazing.
We had somebody text in just asking you, Troy, about the new Napalm Death Melt Banana Split 7. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
All I can say about it is that was a tour only thing. It's we've tried to get hold of it. No.
You can't?
No. They sold it on tour. It was basically merchandise on tour. They did a tour with, I think it was Napalm Death and the Melvins. And then Melt Banana on some of the ones. I think that's how it went.
Okay,
we
cool.
Get it.
Well, thanks for that.
So where are we going next?
Are we going to do one? Tall Black Guy? Or are we going to do Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein?
Let's do Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein.
Cool.
Now we heard Survive a few weeks ago.
I'm trying to remember.
RR7349 was the name of the album.
Yes,
remember?
Awesome.
So they Survivor, a four-piece from Austin, Texas, or based in Austin, Texas. And from Survive, Kyle and Michael were tapped by the producers at Netflix of the show Stranger Things to do the score
for the whole
Stranger Things.
I remember talking about that as well.
We did. And the reason... even though it's been out on CD for probably about a month now, vinyl hits tomorrow. Volume 1 this week, Volume 2 next week.
It's a fantastic soundtrack.
isn't it, just?
Yeah, it's really good.
I think what I like about it is that it's not simply just the cues. You know, what I mean by that, it's not dependent on the on-screen action to get something from it and to enjoy it. It's mostly analog synth. In fact, almost 100% analog synth, although one of the little parts we're going to play has some real drums, sampled or not, but nonetheless. That record, well, Volume 1, which is out this week, double LP, I think it's half red, half blue, the vinyl on that one.
Cool.
Well, the edition we're getting. We're getting it through Invader, which is Jeff Barrow out of Portishead's label. I think it's on Lakeshore in the United States, but we get the better one.
Awesome.
Well, the tunes we're going to hear, now, have you seen Stranger Things?
Troy, I don't really like scary things, so I watched about half of episode one and then I had to back away.
You found it scary?
Yep.
Okay.
In fact, this is showing a true weakness in me.
Or were you just unable to concentrate?
I'm definitely able to concentrate.
What do you mean? The last 2 weeks you just sat here looking at the telephone while I'm talking.
The telephone? No, Troy. I am definitely able to concentrate.
Okay. Well, Stranger Things, it's probably Netflix's biggest success this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like huge following.
Yeah, everyone talks about it. It's like, if you don't know, it's kind of it's set in the 80s. It's kind of a nostalgic kind of science fiction horror.
Yeah, but actually the soundtracks really stood out for a lot of people as well.
The score or the music in it by the Clash, etc. The score?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to be wanting to buy this, and I don't think it's going to stick around forever.
Right, okay.
It's pretty cool. Okay, the ones we're going to hear is, was it Walking in the Upside Down we got first?
Yeah, Walking Through the Upside Down, and then She'll Kill You.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's listen.
Thank you.
It really is a lovely selection of small pieces.
Yeah, it really is. It's great. And you could hear in that one there was, I think there was also some guitar, but the drums, sampled or not, coming in. Mm. You know, could this have been made in the 1980s? Well, with the technology, yes, but I don't think that anything, you know, you could say John Carpenter or Tangerine Dream could have done that. Well, why didn't they? You know, it's
right.
It's something which to me could only really come from now.
Why? Why is what is it about the sound or the structure of the song?
It's the structure and it's the kind of tone of it. I think the you know, as much as it is evocative of the the late 70s or 80s, I think that you know, it's not pinpoint accurate to the kind of thing that was written, which is great.
Do you reckon as well, like the length of the songs would in the 80s or 70s, would the songs have been of like a, I don't know, longer? Like,
well,
would
no,
it be more traditional?
Not if they were made for on-screen cues, okay. No. No, don't think so.
Okay, cool. No, I was just wondering if that was like kind of more of a technique that's used now. More music, but shorter bursts.
No, I know what you mean, but yeah. I think in terms of like an original soundtrack, it kind of doesn't count. Because okay. It is, you know, it is predominantly the reason it's being made is for
to
accompany on screen, whatever. You know what I mean?
Cool.
But what a great record!
Yeah. So this is going to be—is this at Southbound or is it going to be at Southbound?
No, it's out. It's out tomorrow.
It's out tomorrow.
Worldwide, out cool. tomorrow. Vinyl, double vinyl, half blue, half red. Wait till you see the vinyl for Volume 2, though. Oh my God!
Cool.
Looks amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Volume 1, Stranger Things by. Kyle and Mike, I suppose they're called.
Kyle and Mike.
Aren't they both in South Park? I don't know.
I don't know.
I haven't seen South Park for about 15 years. Let's move on to the next one.
Yes, I'm excited for this one.
Of course you are. The next one the next one is from Tall Black Guy. Now, Tall Black Guy was...
Mystery to me, Troy. Tall Black Guy.
Is he?
Yep.
Okay, well, you didn't live here, but about 2 years ago he played in Auckland.
Okay.
He's a fellow who was originally from Detroit, but for the last few years has been living in Britain. In fact, in Norwich.
Gosh.
He lives in Norwich. Tall black guy. You could probably, you know, spot him in a lineup in Norwich. I don't really know. He came to attention first, you know, like doing... sample-based beats and things, reconstructing other people's songs, remixing things. I remember he did a Michael Jackson thing once.
Really?
Tall Black Guy versus Michael Jackson.
People would have loved that.
I think so. Well, but not that many people heard it, you know. He's not Drake or anyone.
Yeah.
But Tall Black Guy has a... he put a record out on First Word a couple of years back when he was... around the time he was in New Zealand called 8 Miles to Mona, which was sort of about Detroit or inspired by Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, kind of it's somewhere in between instrumental hip-hop and house, I guess, is how you could describe it, like, loosely. But his new record is also on First Word. It's called Let's Take a Trip.
Let's take a trip.
And it's not like a, let's take a, you know, not in terms of acid house or anything like that. It's the cover is a train. And
so he actually just wants people to get on a train and go for a journey through his album.
Yeah, pretty much. He said that, you know, he said to describe the album, it's a journey, full stop. That's what it is.
Cool.
And it's quite nice. It's pretty relaxed. It's pretty laid back and chill, that kind of thing.
I feel like that's what people need right now.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it what people need?
Times are stressful. We need some peaceful, relaxing music.
Oh, they're not as stressful as you think. It's not like we live in medieval times with torture devices and witch burnings, is it?
That's true, but we have other barriers to try and climb over.
I said first word records, not first world problems. So,
nice.
The one where the song we're going to... Well... Should we do some of this? There's a lot of vocals on this, which is, you know, when Tall Black Guy is making his own music as opposed to reconstructing other people's music, it sometimes sounds a bit like, remember that thing called Neo Soul, which came out in the 90s?
Yes.
It's like that. There's something like that. He's got Moonchild do vocals on one of the tunes.
So he doesn't do any vocals himself?
Yeah, he does.
He does?
He does, actually, yeah. And also, there's a couple of them featuring someone called Yusuf Rumperfield, which is in fact tall black guy as well. It's not his real name, but but it's him as well, and he does vocals as him too. In the tune, we're going to hear some of the vocal. You'll hear some sort of backing vocals. That's tall black guy as well.
Okay.
This one we're going to play is more of his sort of like chill jazz end of what he's doing. He's got another producer called Miles Bonney who plays trumpet. He's plays sort of a jazz trumpet on this one.
Nice.
And this one is entitled, This One's for the Ladies and Gentlemen. That's what it's called. It's a Tall Black Guy's new record. It's out tomorrow. It's called Let's Take a Trip.
And I'm excited to hear it, so let's do it. It's featuring Miles Bonney as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
From From the Crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.